This hour of Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
These guys are going to come back. They're going to bring the band back together. He committed to them last year.
All right. Well, there's the old saying about the definition of insanity is continuing to do the same thing and getting this, whatever it is.
Thanks, George Bush.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
What happened, buddy? You got to look to you like you have no interest in driving the ship to 7 o'clock. Something happened. You're either tired, you're still not feeling good, or somebody pissed you off.
All of the above.
No, it's not all of the above. There's no third option. Like, I don't have a problem with anybody.
Does your wife ever say to you, are you moody? Or does she ever accuse you of being moody?
No, I'm pretty even keeled, like, when I'm at home and stuff.
But it's just coming in here. Is it us?
Work. No, I don't think it's you guys.
But you
Here's
don't walk
the thing.
Down the stairs and be like, who put the bananas in the jello? Like screaming.
No, I none of that kind of stuff. Like, I'm pretty even keeled. Here's the truth, okay? I've had these conversations with people. Because of our hours of operation.
Yes.
Because it's so random. Like, you know, we're on the air.
Most
we start
people
work
at 4 o'clock, they're starting to wind down their
right.
day. And we have to be jacked up and take it to infinity and beyond.
Which is fine. And I think once we get on the air, I can speak for myself. Generally, once I get on the air, I'm up, I'm ready to go. You know, like that's being professional. You got to be ready to rock. But people that work a 9-to-5 job, my understanding as someone that's never really been in that profession is they get there at 9, nobody talks, everyone's left alone for a half an hour.
Yeah, just so you can settle in.
Ease into the day, right? Like, it would be annoying if you're still half asleep, you just got into work, you're trying to log into your computer, and people are yapping at you.
I would do the Les Nessman move at my desk and put the tape around, and nobody's allowed in my space.
Yeah, give me half an hour just to get into the day. And
2 hours. At lunch, we'll have a chat.
Well, okay, that's fine, too. But I get in here at 2 o'clock or 2:30, and everyone here has been here all day, and they're looking for the stop and chat. And I kind of have a reaction when I get here. I'm like,
"Whoa, whoa, whoa!"
I just want to get to my desk.
People are bugging you at work?
No, I'm not saying bugging. I'm not saying bugging. I'm saying in general. I'm not even talking about today. I'm just talking in general. I don't think we get a grace period where we're allowed to kind of just show up and sit down and do our thing, and that's the way it goes. So.
Sometimes. Do you ever want to say to people, like, I'm not on the radio, like, I don't want to give you a hot take?
Well, no one's provoking hot takes. No,
you're like, walking in like, no, what do you think of Matthews and Babcock?
Yeah,
go,
no, that doesn't happen.
Well, sometimes when I do a Leaf game or whatever, like, let's say we're downtown, and my pub is the Firkin across the street from the ACC. When I go in there, and I told you guys know this, when I'm done, we talk for a living for 3 hours on this show.
I know.
When we're done here, I don't want to talk to any human being on this earth, unless her name is Brandy Love or Elle McPherson. They're like, oh, what'd you think about that? And I'm like, no. No way. No how.
Then you've got to find a different place, because the Firkin seems to be like a high traffic area, like where there's Leaf fans. Like, all I see is Leaf
jerseys. Me and a security guard from ACC, we just sit at the end of the bar and we have a couple beers and we leave.
If you put yourself out there, I mean, that's a different story, right? If you go out in public or whatever.
Dude, I get it. If you go to real sports and you belly up and you got your alumni jacket on, you're cruising for it. I don't want that, need that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't even know why I brought that up. It has nothing to do with anything that happened today.
Well, it's because you had a look on your face before you took the microphone.
No, I was tired.
You did a stretch and you had a look and I don't know.
I thought you were going to have a hot take out of the gate.
No.
Like, I am pissed about
this. I hope Aaron... Does she listen and say, my man is in a bad mood? I'm going to make him his favorite meal tonight.
Lasagna waiting for you when you
Swiss Chalet. What about that?
Well, those would be two great options,
what
but that's not going to happen.
What could cheer you up at 7:20 when you walk in?
Hang on a second.
I'm fine.
What in the Toronto sports market would cheer you up within the next 3 hours?
I've got an idea. Austin Matthews signs an extension.
I think that's going to happen anyway, so I'd be
next
happy
3
with
hours.
That. No, if you're telling me I have like a genie.
Tulo got healthy.
No, I don't care about Tulowitzki because even healthy, his game is completely.
Kawhi comes to Toronto.
Captain.
No. Well, that would be interesting. Kawhi Leonard being traded here.
LeBron says interested in the Raps.
Okay, that would
look
yes.
at the smile. Look at the smile.
That would be very, very uplifting. I don't know why he would say that out of nowhere. I would probably call fake news. I would suggest that he's patronizing people in Toronto.
You know what you would say? It's lying Ted Cruz.
Yeah, lying Ted Cruz.
The lies.
I don't know. I you put me on the spot here. I can't think of anything. Maybe Steve Yzerman, next GM of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
You know what? We should have.
How about that?
If this is if we started low, like low Thursday, maybe we have
a
poll.
It's a Weiser's clap for that movement.
If we have a poll, what would cheer up the Toronto sports fan right now?
It's a great question.
It's a great poll, too. And me and Noodles, we're carrying the show right now because you're in a bad mood.
I'm in a fine mood. Like you brought it on the air. I had no interest. Like, if you didn't bring that up, I would have just come out rocking and said, we got game seven tonight.
No, you were not rocking anything.
You were Frank the Tank when you got hit with the dart.
Yeah, you're...
I'll admit that it was a big yawn and a big stretch right before we came on.
He's got a dart in his neck.
Yeah, I did have a dart in my neck at 3:59:59.
But you are ready to rock.
But
like
I'm
a
ready
pro.
To go. Yeah, the mics are on, the lights are on. It's we're up and at them. So
I got to be honest. I was talking about our show today down at Steph's school.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple fans of the show.
Is that right?
Well, there were some people talking about you guys.
Shout out.
Shout out to Brian Hayes saying he was a very good host. And
like, why wouldn't Steph just bring all three of us down there at the same time?
Because you know what you would say?
What?
Not doing it because you're already, like, you talk enough for a living.
I do this stuff. Like, I'll do it. Why
didn't you would show up. I think you'd show up.
I'm not saying that you wouldn't. I just don't think all three of us. Like, I went down. Brian, you've done. Maybe you can go down at some point,
I guarantee she won't ask me. She knows. Like, I don't know.
She knows what?
I don't know. She will think that I'm an idiot and that I'm not.
No,
gonna...
she probably doesn't want to bother you.
No, she thinks that I'm going to swear or do something
stupid. You're allowed to swear behind closed doors.
Yeah, I swore a couple of times.
I thought I was cool. I was trying to be edgy.
Yeah, I swore a couple of times.
Fire it up, Steph. Like, give me a call.
Nothing crazy. Like, nothing, you know,
no,
it's not like it's...
like, mother this. Or,
no.
I threw the SHT, you know.
We know how it's spelt.
No, but I was going to...
You almost actually literally spelt it.
I was going to abbreviate it.
Well, anyway, Steph will reach out to you. You'll get in there one day.
You're in the mix.
It's a cool school. It's a really cool setup they got down there. And Steph is on top of things, man. I was very impressed. Steph is a top-notch, first-rate professor. A professor.
Steffi's a professor?
Yes. And I witnessed it firsthand. So those students are very, very lucky down there at the College of Sports Media. But shout-out to them and shout-out to anybody tuning in. We've got Game 7 going tonight. Preds, Jets. You can actually hear it on TSN 1050 tonight. Yeah. We've got the game
That'll
for
be great.
You.
Our promo is wrong, by the way. It's at 8, not 7.
Pre-game. Pre-game begins at 7.
Yeah, the pre-game for us. Yeah, we're from 4 to 7, 4 to 8 tonight. Didn't you know that?
Like, we're doing the pre-game. The three of us are doing the pre-game.
Yeah, very funny.
You didn't know that? You didn't get that email from Hunt?
Are you being serious right now? You actually didn't get that?
If you're being serious right now, I'm quitting my job. I'm not doing another hour of radio. I have to do other stuff.
What else do you have going on?
Are you being serious?
I'm being dead serious. You didn't get the email. We're on until 8 today.
Yeah, 4 till 8.
There is no chance in hell I am staying in this chair until 8 o'clock. I can't do it. I can't talk that way.
You've got other things going on? Okay. That's fine. Noodles and I'll carry the...
We'll grind it up.
Carry the show.
Who's doing the pregame show?
The three of us. We're doing it from 7 to 8.
We're going to do a yes guy, no guy at about 7:20.
Syndicated in Winnipeg. I think Ottawa's going to pick it up. Vancouver might pick it up, too.
No,
stations around the country.
Yeah, I'll build 5,000 then for an hour.
Well, you can do whatever you want. I mean, but it's...
No, we're not doing that.
I have yes guy, no guy. You want to look at my notes?
We've got a lot.
Yes guy, no guy. Patrick Laine scores tonight.
Well, I think that could be a yes guy.
I don't even care what you say.
Drivers and passengers, boys and girls. How does he say it again? How does the tap man do the...
Drivers and passengers, boys and girls. Yes, guyers and no guyers. Here we go. Yes guy, no guy. The Leafs win tonight.
I'm going to say yes guy. I'm going to say yes guy. Maybe a maybe guy.
Yes guy, no guy. O-Dog makes it till 8 p.m.
Dude, I'm just telling you guys right now, I didn't get that email, but I am not staying here till 8 o'clock.
Okay, that's fine. Noodles and I will do it.
Go ahead and have fun with it, because...
Yeah, when we got the...
I'm not doing that.
That's fine. You don't have... I don't care what you do. If you want to leave at 7, go ahead. Noodles and I will happily...
I have to do That's Hockey at 7 anyway, so I'm not...
Oh, you're on That's Hockey today?
Yeah.
Where's your suit?
Huh?
Where's
in my car.
It's in the trunk.
With Gracie?
No, Gracie's at home resting.
With a
bit of an incident with Gracie.
What happened with Gracie?
I came home and...
She chewed through the alumni coat.
No, she doesn't do anything bad, but...
She's going to chew through the alumni coat.
That is definitely going to happen.
She's going to chew the arm right off
100%
of that alumni coat.
100% that alumni jacket.
I just wasn't happy because I walked in and she obviously likes to, when I come home, she...
Get excited.
Excited,
yeah.
And I'm like... I smell crap. Like, I smell dog crap. And I'm looking around. I'm like, okay, Gracie, I know you might have had an accident. Where is the crap?
She strategically placed it somewhere that you can't find.
No,
it, but you
no,
can smell it.
No, it's worse. So, with like, you know, I watch TV and I'm like, God, it's just like there's a constant smell of this crap.
But you didn't go find it.
Yeah, did you mail in the search?
Do you think I'm a pig? I went and looked for the crap.
So where is it then? You've mailed in the search.
No, I didn't. This morning I woke up and she sleeps right underneath me beside my bed. And I'm like, I looked at her. I go, Gracie, you smell like poop. And then she ran away and I looked at her bum. And there is literally a whole crap stuck in her fur.
Oh, no.
I had to get tweezers and wet wipes and dismantle this poop in her fur.
Dude.
I'm like, that's why I smelled crap. It was on your fur.
So the whole time?
The whole time I'm looking around, I'm like, God, I don't like that smell. Where is that smell? I don't want my condo smelling like crap.
She's sitting on the couch and she's...
She's doing her deal everywhere, crawling around, and she walked away and she had a little mini hockey puck full of crap stuck in her fur.
That's not good.
Well... What are you going to do, man?
I had to get tweezers. I had to get wet wipes. I had to do surgery.
Poor girl. She was probably embarrassed. She was probably felt bad.
She was embarrassed. I was embarrassed, too. It was not a
tough scene.
Did you have, like, the SARS mask on doing
the
work? The
smell, I don't know. It's like sometimes you just get one of those smells and you're like,
Oh, if it sticks around, you're toast. I like how at some point you just said, it's in here and I'm going to... I need a belly up on the couch.
See what's on the Golf Channel.
Oh, what did I do that was...
Well, I mean, at some point you
Dude, I
decided...
looked everywhere. I looked on the floor. There's only so many... I live in a two-bedroom condo.
Yeah.
My kid's room and then my room. There's only so many places to look.
Yeah,
Where do you look?
Well, I guess you had to look a little bit harder and find what was going on there.
Yeah, but I didn't know it would be on the dog.
Anyway, are you watching the game tonight with Gracie? Is that the plan? Because game 7...
No, I have to work. We're on the panel.
Oh, you guys are on a panel tonight.
We're here
That's
tonight.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't have a read on this game at all.
I don't know. It's like I think it's because it like disappeared for a couple days and you can't get a vibe or a feel. Such a bad. And I know it's probably scheduling in that Nashville arena that they couldn't go.
Yeah, Timberlake was playing last night.
Sorry, not Bieber. Timberlake, yeah.
But it's like you just get the interest away and then you're like, hang on a sec. What is my feel or vibe about this game?
I think Nashville's got the edge. They're a veteran team. The only thing I'll say, and I think Winnipeg, so I just had to do a That's Hockey prediction or whatever. I said, I think Winnipeg wins. But I think Winnipeg, you have to score the first goal.
You're giving me mixed signals here. You think Nashville has the edge, but
Winnipeg's going
to
win.
To start the game, the Nashville Predators have the edge because those guys have been there, done that. So Connor, Laine, all those guys are going to have some nerves leading up to it. The first 10 minutes on the road, if they can either score or be 0-0, I think Winnipeg is in really good shape because the longer it goes, the home team, the crowd expects more. If you can score, just like Nashville did in game 6, 1 minute into the game, crowd silent.
Well, statistically, whoever scores first is always in the driver's seat, but I believe that's been the case even more so, more prevalently throughout the playoffs.
I think in what we do for a living, if you brought in a former hockey player for the first time and sat him right there beside me and Jamie, you would say, you know what, Me and Jamie have the edge who's going to be better on this show because we've been doing it a long time. But these guys are playing hockey. It's the same game. They've all been doing it. To say that, oh, I've played in one of these before 5 years ago and I have that experience, I think that's garbage.
But leading up to it...
Go play a game. Go have a game.
I know, but leading up to it, that's where these guys have never been in that situation. So for 2 days, they've had to think about it. They've had their friends asking them about it, their parents, people flying in and that, where I just think the Nashville Predators went through this scenario a year ago. They were there, and they were in big games. I'm just saying they have the edge leading into the game. That's it.
But you're picking Winnipeg.
I'm picking Winnipeg.
So what you're saying is the edge is completely meaningless. Like, the edge doesn't matter, which is what he's saying, is once the puck drops, it doesn't matter about history and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I believe that for 48 hours, Nashville is the team that everyone thinks, okay, because they've been there, done that, and they're going to be a little bit more relaxed in their own building.
See, I think that can work both ways, though. Like, you're also dealing with the pressure of having to win at home, and the pressure of being the team that is expected to win the Stanley Cup and has been labeled as the best team in the league and the deepest team in the league.
Is it a failure if Nashville loses tonight?
Well, based on who they're playing, I think you can make a reasonable case that it's not, but I don't know if you can do that with the fans.
Yeah.
Like, the fans are very different, right? Yeah, like, from an objective standpoint, I don't think it's a failure either way, because these are two of the top three or four teams in the league.
Yeah.
So if you lose to one of the best teams in the league in a game seven, it's kind of like what the Raptors just went through. Like, if the Raptors lost in game seven and LeBron went off for 45 points and hit a buzzer beater to win it, you're like, man, the king got you.
Yeah.
You get swept, then it's embarrassing and it's a bad look.
I'll tell you what's embarrassing. If they fire the coach and they made him come out yesterday, that's not cool. Like,
Yeah, but you would make him come out. Like, he's going to. If he doesn't come out yesterday, we're all saying
you
he's
know
done.
What? You pretty much have an inclination of what you're going to do, what your motive is, and what your plan going forward. If you made that guy go out there and address the media when you're going to can him, and then he wins the coach of the year. That's not cool.
But do you think this is like a Gerard Gallant situation, where Gallant was, you know, one coach of the year, and then he gets rinsed? Now, the way that the Panthers treated Gallant was garbage. Like, he leaves the bus, he gets the cab, and that.
But that was so different, though. This is the end of the season. I mean, that was after a game during the season. This is totally different. I understand that the media is asking for Casey. It could have been Casey saying, listen, I feel like as a coach, I should get out there and speak. Because if I don't show up, then I might as well quit. Because what I'm telling the world is I think I'm getting fired.
Right.
And I think there are issues here. I understand what you're saying optically. It was a bit uneasy to watch him up there with the reports being out there that Casey's probably going to be let go. But he is still technically under contract. He's getting paid a lot of money. And if the PR staff comes to him and goes, hey, you know, we're planning on meeting with the media at 1:15. What's he going to say? He's probably got to be like, all right, well, I'm still employed. You know, I still want to get these last final checks. Yeah. And once they fire me, if they fire me, I want to get the rest of the contract paid out. And the thing is, Casey also understands that if he's a dead man walking in Toronto, that means he's also polishing off his resume
for somebody else
and working towards whatever the next deal is going to be.
Yeah.
Whether it's in Detroit or wherever it's going to be. I mean, there's a bunch of different spots they're going to have coaching availabilities. I would think so, absolutely. I mean, look what he's done here in Toronto. Before he got here, Toronto was a wasteland in a lot of ways, and they've improved the record year over year over year for the most part. He just won Coach of the Year, so that's something you can sell to your owner and furthermore to your fans. Absolutely. You know, he ran into LeBron. He didn't have a great series against the Cavs. There's no disputing that. But I think, like, Dwayne Casey, it's not even up for debate. He's the greatest coach in Raptors history by a country mile. No one comes close. So if you hold that mantle anywhere, even though the Raptors have only been around for 22 years or whatever, if you're considered the greatest coach in a franchise's history, I would think that's a pretty easy sell in terms of you getting another gig. He'll get employed again. If he wants to, I think he'd get employed again this summer.
Well, it's...
Now you think somebody like would fire their coach to get him?
I think potentially. I mean, look what he did with this team this year. How much they changed and how quality their numbers were offensively, defensively, how many wins they picked up.
But then doesn't aren't we answering our own question? Like, this guy did such a good job.
I've been
like,
saying all week I wouldn't fire him. I would not fire him if I'm Ujiri. I think it's a complete cop out. It's the players.
You trade DeMar then. You pretty much have to do something.
Kyle would be the guy I would focus on more than DeMar. Lowry would be the first guy out for me if I'm deciding that if I come to the conclusion that I've got to trade one of these two guys who have been here for years.
Yeah.
I would stick with DeMar, who I believe continues to improve year over year over Lowry. But that's the job of Masai Ujiri now. Yeah. You know, Masai, he said it yesterday, put it on him. He's got to try to figure this out and try to get them past Cleveland if that's where LeBron stays, or elevate past Boston and Philly. And the truth is, the pain of this spring is not over yet, because now we know Boston is playing Cleveland in the conference final. If they win one game, it's kind of a bad look on the Raps. If they push it to 6 or 7, it's embarrassing. If they beat Cleveland, it's catastrophic, because they would beat Cleveland without Kyrie Irving. They haven't had Gordon Hayward all year.
Yeah.
If they find a way to beat Cleveland and the Raptors couldn't get one game off them, it makes the Raps look even worse.
I sense that LeBron's, he's on here. They're going to the finals.
I think Cleveland's going to the finals. Yeah, I mean, it sure feels that way. How can you bet against LeBron right now? And credit to Boston and what they've done.
Right.
But they got through Milwaukee in the first round, and Philly's a good team, but they're filled with rookies. You knew they were going to hit a wall, and that's what happened. Ben Simmons couldn't hit shots. Embiid was up and down in the series. So.
Cleveland will be there.
Yeah.
Be Cleveland,
I would think.
Golden State.
Probably again. Cleveland, Golden State. George Karl is actually going to join us. Karl was the last coach of the year to be fired 29 days later, I believe it was. He wins coach of the year, and then he got fired in Denver. So
that is a great guy to talk to, just to see like what was.
If he
how the
a,
hell does
if
that happen? You won coach of the year. Then you got canned.
Wow.
And it was his GM was Masai Ujiri for a while.
Masai fired him?
Masai had just left to Toronto before he got fired, but Ujiri would have been in on the conversations about what they should be doing. So, Carl, I'd be curious to get his take on Masai and how he feels about Ujiri. So, George Carl will join us just after 6 o'clock. Alex Anthopoulos on the show around 5:30. Get his take on Jose Bautista. The Braves are going to be in town next month, and how Bautista's looked so far. Vladdy Guerrero Jr., the guy he signed before he was let go here in Toronto, or before he left Toronto, how he would handle that, because he's got his own super kid in Acuna down in Atlanta. So we'll catch up with Anthopoulos around 5:30. And Duffy will be in studio at 5.
Couple good gets.
Great gets.
You have totally turned it around and become a star of this show.
I feel good. Yeah. I'm at it, man. I'm ready to go. We're here until 8 o'clock tonight.
We're just going to motivate.
We're not here till 8.
Overdrive continues. TSN 1050. Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. I know you saw it, but have you seen the shirt that Phil Mickelson is wearing at the Players?
I got a glance of it, and then looking at it and having our chat off air about like what this guy looks like. It's almost like he's wearing like a super tight shirt to like insulation to keep things.
Well, it's a dress shirt is what he's wearing, but allegedly, like, he's got something going on underneath it, too. But they're down in Florida. It's like,
you know how hot it is there?
I looked it up this morning. It was, like, 85 this morning. So, like, it's probably in the middle of the day in Florida, pushing 90 down there. Like, that's how hot it is. And this guy is in long sleeves, a dress shirt with like buttons. I don't know what his deal is.
I don't know. Like, tell your company. Maybe a fall event, I'll bring this out. But I'm wearing a golf shirt today.
Right. At the Ryder Cup, if we were allowed to wear our own stuff, maybe I would wear it at the Ryder Cup.
The work dot thing or whatever. That pick right there.
It's a long sleeve
dress shirt, but it looks like it's from like Winners or something. Like,
it's awful.
It's a bad shirt.
I hope he's getting paid a lot of money to wear it.
Well, he is, but you know the way that these brands work. Like, they use these guys to peddle their products, and they hope that it turns into a trend. There is no chance you're going to see guys on courses around the world wearing these shirts.
That's what I would say. I would say, you know what? The likelihood and probability of somebody else like copying this look
0%.
0%.
Did Phil ever, was he ever a trendsetter as far as clothing?
Never in fashion.
I noticed never. That he wore Hugo Boss for the longest time. I love Hugo Boss.
Yeah. You know, I used to copy that look, actually. I loved the Hugo Boss golf shirt and like a nice Tommy Bahama golf pant, and that was kind of my look, but it just looked cool. But now he's just whatever.
I will say this about his look, and he's always been consistent with it, and I've never understood it. He wears a watch when he plays.
Yeah, I used to do that all the time, too.
Why would you wear a watch playing golf?
I don't know. I used to wear a big Breitling, too.
Didn't it affect your swing, though?
No, I never thought anything of it.
But why would you as opposed to wouldn't you?
Well, a combination of a couple of things. Why would you ever think you need the time if you're playing golf? Like, you're a professional golfer. What, is he going to look at his watch and be like, I got to get going here. I got a reservation in 45 minutes.
Like, well, you might be like, how long have I been on this hole? Like, this is a...
But why does that even matter?
I don't know.
I think he's obviously a brand ambassador with Rolex or something, and that's why he's wearing them. Yeah, but
it's not a big one, too. It's like a leather band, and it's a small...
Yeah, but I've never understood why you would wear a watch.
It actually looks similar to the one you have, a little bit smaller, probably.
Yeah. But I don't wear jewelry. I don't wear, like, my wedding ring when I play. And he's got his wedding ring, his watch.
This guy's got
everything. And he's always worn it.
Well, he's a unique guy, but he is one of the greatest, is he not?
Yeah. Well, and I thought he came up with a great idea earlier in the week. We didn't get into this, really. The idea of Tiger and Phil on pay-per-view gambling against each other.
I would do it.
I would pay big money for that. And I'll tell you why the PGA Tour should pray it never happens. Because I think it would be way more entertaining than the average golf tournament. Way more entertaining.
But you're under the belief that it's got to be their own money?
Well, yeah. Obviously, that would be more ideal, because then you would realize they really have skin in the game.
Do we have the Phil message to his buddy about Charlie...
Hoffman.
We're going to rinse these guys for 20 grand.
Bring your buddy, because Charlie's in town and he's got a buddy.
Yeah, see if you can find that audio. Like, the FBI dug that up, I think. Like, Phil got in trouble, remember? He was allegedly involved
in,
like...
Phil is in deep with the casinos. There was a lot of stuff about him moving to Callaway, and Callaway had to pay off some Vegas debts.
I like that, though, that he's the guy, like, well, let's get some gambling going on.
Oh, he's not shy at all. So I think he's 100% genuine. He would love to do that with Tiger. I don't know if Tiger's got way more money, which is crazy. Like, Phil's...
I've never understood that, though. Like, I've played a few matches, and I'll be brutally honest, where I didn't really know. You go to the National, and the Italian guy's up there, and the match is over, and you have a good day, and it's like, oh, okay, I owe you $1,200, and it's like, I don't have $1,200. If I lost, I wouldn't have it to give you.
Well, that's
I don't enjoy that. You want to play a $20 Nassau game where if you get killed, you lose $80. That's fine, but I don't feel like handing over a guy $1,500.
I would love
to see them put up $10 million each of their own money, and then you get it sponsored. They would get it paid back anyway.
That's the thing.
It would never be their money. It would be a sponsor to say, I'm putting up the money, and you're going to walk out with a bag of cash and say it's yours.
Well,
and
I don't even think it's legal. I mean, they'd have to do this in the Caribbean or something like that. But I think it would be incredible TV. I really do.
I would, too.
I would pay a lot of money to watch that if it was genuinely, like, they had something on the line. And because, honestly, you look at golf tournaments... Outside of the majors, a lot of them, like even the Players, and I know the Players has prestige, there are some guys that they're showing shots for. I couldn't care less. Like Jonathan Vegas. Great, yeah. He's three shots back. Here's an approach on 12. Pass. But show me just Tiger and Phil, everything they do on the course from every single angle where there's something.
They already do that, Brian.
No, but not to that extent. They waste time with other guys that
Tiger
I don't care
struggled
about.
Because they're not on the course.
You have
to understand. There's.
But I'm saying
the
this
morning
is different.
Wave, the
dude.
Afternoon wave. You get one each Thursday and Friday. You can't go to Phil and Tiger if one is playing in the morning and it's afternoon viewing.
But if there's only two guys in the whole field, that's when you view it.
No
that's
kidding. And they've split them up their whole career. Tiger was always in the morning and Phil was always in the afternoon. And the next day they would switch so they could put them on TV.
Well, how about they play at noon, and just the two of them. I would.
I don't think this is ever going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. But we're talking about like hypothetical Thursday.
Do you remember
here.
They tried this like I don't know? It was like 10 or 12 years ago. They had Ernie Els, Sergio Garcia, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods, and there was lights, and they had this big event where it was two against two, and
actually they used to do a skins game every once in a while.
I don't think this was like a a twosome versus a twosome, and it was, I don't know, it was in San Diego or something. I don't think it went over that well.
I think in today's landscape, it would go over huge, because you're going to get a casual fan like me who doesn't care to sit through and watch all the no-names, for lack of better words, and I'm trying to show them respect.
No, it's the truth.
The guys hit just to get to
the bottom
Phil
line is, we'll never know if it's their, they can't like put their own, I don't think Tiger Woods is ever going to call up Phil Mickelson and say, are you bringing $1 million in a bag? Because that's what I'm bringing.
But they have it. Like, they
well,
could.
Well, no kidding.
And but I would like to see that in a one-off. Like, a Saturday.
Make it, honestly, $1.8 million. Every single hole is worth $1 million. Or $100,000.
$100,000.
Every hole is worth $100,000. And what that does is, it doesn't matter if you're having an off day. You the next hole is just as important and just as captivating. Yeah. Tiger can pick up and be like, I'm out, you got $100,000 there, let's move to the next tee. Do you know how fun that would be to watch?
I think it would be awesome.
And that's what I'm saying, you don't get these in these tournaments. You got to watch Ted Potter Jr. tee off
but
on
they
three.
They would never make it about their money. They would get somebody to sponsor it, and they would say, here's the cash,
it's entertaining.
Here it is, and put it in a bag and act like it's yours going to the
but
first tee.
If it's on pay-per-view and they're mic'd up and they're making side bets, I'll bet you $50,000 you can't get up and down from there. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, everything
it's almost like paying for full access.
Right.
Like, they're chirping each other. Like,
Wouldn't that be awesome?
I would love it. I would, because I think it would bring a different perspective to the game. And I don't think Tiger or Phil... Like, Tiger's at a different point in his career, too. Like, Phil's still mowing along pretty good, is he not?
He is, but he's not winning tournaments all the time. Like, he's...
But, like you say, if Tiger shoots a 73 and Phil shoots a 69, maybe Tiger wins some of those holes and there's some money being distributed.
Like, absolutely.
And
you double down.
Because you mentioned it the other day, Tiger just limping in and making the cut and 73 here. Now you're watching everyone else that's ahead of him.
Exactly. And for a lot of people, they're not interested in that. Like, the diehard fans, I'm not saying you get rid of the PGA Tour, but I honestly think it would be dangerous for the tour if it happened, because I think the ratings would be so high that the next round it would be Fowler versus Spieth would do it. And then it would be Dustin Johnson versus Jason Day. And it would turn into this whole, like, spin into a whole
side
different
bets.
Tour
yeah.
of... Which would be just much more interesting for people. Yeah.
That four-man tourney was called, like, Battle of the Bridges or Battle at the Bridges.
I would like it called the Side Action Tourney, where you just have...
It's like a poker tournament. Like, you know those the high-stakes poker?
Where Daniel Negreanu
against
off.
Phil Hellmuth or whatever, and they bring their own money and they...
Sit down and go at
and
it.
You play. That would be great. I need to start this. We need to start
the
this.
The Overdrive...
High stakes golf
head
matchup.
To head. O versus Hayes to start off with.
Well, no one cares about us playing. But no. If we can get Tiger and Phil, we're really in the money. That should be pretty easy, I would think.
Yeah, just call them up.
We've got connections.
Hunt probably has his number.
Yeah, Hunt will figure it out. Game 7 tonight, you can hear it on TSN 1050. The Jays back in action after a big come-from-behind win last night. The amount of runs they put up in the 8th and 9th inning this year, crazy. And they did it again last night. And the Final Four in the NBA is officially set. How does that factor into where the Raptors are going to go from here? We'll continue to touch on all of that in 2 minutes. Duffy will be in studio on the 5 p.m. hour. We've got Alex Anthopoulos on the show at 5:30. And get Alex's take on Jose Bautista. We haven't heard a lot about Bautista, and I guess that's what comes with the territory. He's playing in the National League, so the focus isn't really going to be on him, but he's got such a connection to the city. And the Braves are going to be in town in June, and as long as he's healthy and he's playing, he'll be a part of that that series. So I would think every time he's up to the plate, there will be loud ovations, but it's not like the city didn't give him a proper send-off last year. Like, we were all aware that Bautista was not coming back.
You talk about a lot, like, I'm glad you avoided this contract or that contract, and sometimes you succumb to pressure. And he showed up at spring training and said, I want $150 million because I've been giving a hometown discount, and his career was over while he was making those statements, or close to it. Can you imagine if they were chewing on that one?
I couldn't even imagine how people would turn on Bautista and also turn on Shapiro and Atkins more than they already have. Like, Bautista, in a way, and this is a very warped way, I mean, not based on his bank account, and believe me, he would happily put himself in this position, but in a way, saved his legacy in Toronto by not getting that deal.
No kidding.
Because
they would have forgot about the bat flip.
Real quick.
Would have been the bat shart.
If we were year two of a five-year, $150 million deal, and this guy's hitting like below the Mendoza line,
then you're Larry Murphy'd. You are worse than Murphy'd.
You really would. I mean, that's the reality of pro sports. It doesn't matter how great you are or how great you were, what you did. Eventually, if you stick around too long, people will turn on you. People will turn on you quickly. World Hockey Championship's going on, so I guess Pastrnak just scored a goal. I don't know what's going on.
Apparently, these guys just moved Earth to get to this tournament. I mean, they took flights and showed up this morning, and away they go playing this game. Hmm. And there was talk about, I think Nabil tweeted out, he's like, I hope Crosby goes. He's not going, and he shouldn't go. He's played so much hockey.
He went a few years ago.
I get it, but after that, he won two Stanley Cups in a row.
Oh, totally.
World Cup. It's like, that's...
Into the second round. Game six, second round. No way. Why was anyone waiting for that to be the case? Like, why was anyone thinking that it would even be possible? Yeah. Would it be cool? I'm with Nabil. That would be cool. Like, him and McDavid playing on the same line, if you could set that up.
Okay, it would be cool,
awesome to see. But it was never a reality. It was not going to happen. All right, Duthie will be in studio in the 5 p.m. hour. Alex Anthopoulos coming up. George Karl, who won Coach of the Year, then was fired like a month later in Denver. He'll join us just after 6.
We got to do something in the National Hockey League to get the interest up. Sometimes, like, when your team goes out, and I know we work at TSN, but it just kind of starts going down a hill, and
when's
this thing going to be over?
It's the problem the NHL's always had. It's a very regional sport. Like, it's very regional. If your team is in it, you are so jacked up. If your team is out of it, it's difficult to sell people or to get people to truly invest their time and emotion into it. Like, that's the difference between the NHL and the NBA. As long as LeBron is playing, people are like, I want to watch LeBron. Yeah. I don't care where he's playing.
But think about
this
city. How much interest is going to be if Nashville moves on and plays Vegas?
Right.
How many people are like, hey, we got to go to the pub tonight and watch this game?
Tampa, Washington.
Tampa, Vegas, Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, if Vegas plays Nashville in the conference final, there'll be some beat reporters and media people who are struggling.
Those are two of the best party cities in America. Maybe two of the top five.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, I can't imagine. I love Nashville. I've been to Nashville.
Pierre and Frank will be a disaster.
Are we sending, I guess, that whole crew? I don't know. Like, how does that work?
I don't know. Pierre and Frank, they'll probably be doing it.
I would think so, yeah. But it is something that the NHL's got to... I think it's always been a problem. Like,
It's not a problem, Brian, because you just said it's regional.
But you got to sell your stars more. Like, that's the thing. You got to generate a LeBron.
What
you
are you
going to
do, the guys that sit beside me when I go to the bar, to say to them, you've got to watch the Vegas Golden Knights? They don't care.
Wow.
If it's not the Leafs or the Montreal Canadiens or you don't buy into this, but I think people generally have interest if it's a Canadian team. You don't?
No,
I don't necessarily do, but they want to watch the result.
Well, yes, I fall in line with that too. I'm more intrigued by the Canadian teams. My point has always been, I'm not going to root for them because they're Canadian. You know, I'm not sitting here saying I want the Habs to win a cup because they're Canadian. But if the Habs were on a long run, I would be intrigued by that because I follow them closer than a lot of other teams. So, yes, Winnipeg being in is interesting to me. I'm looking forward to the game. We're not talking about diehards here either. Like, diehard hockey fans are watching and they love it and they can't wait to watch. We're talking about the business model of sports and trying to get the fringe fans. And this is where, when you compare and contrast what the NBA does and what the NHL does, the NBA is now in a position where their numbers are going to keep going up and up and up, and interest is moving up and up and up, because now it's crunch time for LeBron and Steph Curry and James Harden and Kevin Durant, where there are stars left over, so to speak, in these other teams. But let's say Nashville gets there with Vegas. Nashville is a team
that
doesn't really have a superstar.
I was going to say, for basketball, for me, with Steph Curry's on a TV or playing, I put that game on.
Have to watch it.
No matter what.
Yes.
But Nashville, for Ryan Johansson, I don't.
See, like, PK, I think, is one of the more interesting players in the league. I love watching PK.
But do you turn the TV on and say, I got to watch that?
It's not like LeBron. I have to watch LeBron.
No, I think you're talking about different levels of super.
Like, yes. Yeah. Like,
the difference between Steph Curry
now,
and
Ovechkin,
Ryan Johansson or PK Subban.
Oh, it's not even close.
It's not even close.
It's not even close. But like Ovechkin is a guy that moves the
needle. I don't even know if there's a guy in the league in the NHL. Like, maybe it's Connor McDavid that is even the guy that makes you turn the TV on and say, I want to watch that?
Well, it depends on what side of the border you're on. I mean, I think Canadians are, yes, they want to see McDavid. You want to see Crosby.
Yeah, but the American version of me.
No, yeah, McDavid is the closest
thing.
Like,
what is going to make him turn on a TV in the States? Some guy living in Wyoming saying, I got to watch this hockey game. Who is it going to be?
It's probably McDavid.
Maybe it is.
Yeah, it. I think that would be the guy who's in the lead right now. But that's always kind of been an issue, right? Like, it's a team sport, and they promote team first and individual second. Where in the NBA, it's kind of reversed. You promote your superstars, and as a result, because it just gets beaten into you, it's constantly, it's LeBron, 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 LeBron. After a while, you're like, all right, I got to see what the fuss is about. I got to watch. I got to see it. Duffy will, I'm sure, have a take on this, and we'll tee up Game 7 of the Preds-Jets game with him. You can hear it right here on TSN Radio. So Duffy's going to be in studio, Alex Anthopoulos at 5:30.
You've been listening to Overdrive, delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com.